KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Charles Sabine was an award-winning war correspondent with NBC for 25 years. He covered conflicts in Bosnia, Baghdad, and Rwanda. His reporting garnered him an Emmy and many other journalism awards. But 4 years ago, his focus changed completely after he got a genetic test. Charles, why did you decide to get the test?
Well, my family, Ross, had been given a terrible shock in 1994, which was that my father, who we knew had been ill with something to do with his mind, was diagnosed and tested positive for a disease called Huntington's disease, which I'd never heard of. That disease, as well as being possibly the most terrible disease, really, that you can inflict upon any family, is one which has a genetic factor whereby all the children of anyone with the disease have a 50-50 chance of inheriting the gene that will give them the disease as well. So I knew that I was at risk of having the disease. But for the time being, did not at that point take the test that would determine whether I would get the disease or not. After a while, I reached the point which I should say only about 10% of Americans who know that they are in that position actually go and decide to do. 90% prefer not to take the test. I decided at that point, when I was around my mid-40s, that I needed to make some key decisions in my life, which I felt would be empowered by the knowledge one way or another of whether I was going to have the gene, and discovered that in fact I did test positive, which means that I will now develop the Huntington's disease.
And in the meantime, your brother has also gotten Huntington's disease.
Yes. Yeah. He tested positive almost immediately and is now quite sick with the disease. The disease can take anything from about 10 to 15 years to lead to death. So it's a very long, torturous process, which puts an enormous strain of care, a burden of care on those around. It really probably has more collateral damage than any disease we know of, because of the slow decline and the fact that it involves, in the later stages, almost 24-hour care.
I could see where 90% of the people who might have this might not want to take the genetic test. You mentioned some things in your the future of your life made you want to do that. What were those things?
Well, I was really facing this, you know, those kind of decisions that most people in their 40s face about career, relationships, children, those sorts of, you know, key crossroads moments. And the issue of children is probably the one single biggest sword hanging over someone who knows that they're at risk of this disease, because that, of course, you know, the worst part of the disease, even worse than all of the horrible symptoms, is the idea of inflicting, you know, passing that disease mm-hmm. onto your children.
And you have a child, is that right?
I do. I actually have two children now, who neither of whom are gene positive. They're negative, if you like, which we're delighted, which of course is an enormous of enormous relief and joy to myself and my wife. But I do have in my extended family many relatives and nieces and nephews who are at risk for the disease, who do not know their fate mm-hmm. as yet. So, you know, it's a family disease more than any other, this
yeah.
one. So, you know, it's not just a matter of oneself or, you know, even your immediate family, but the extended family who you always have to consider with this disease.
Charles Sabine, I can hear people at home thinking to themselves, why would you have children knowing that you might be carrying it? I mean, did you have the children before you actually got tested and
no,
found out that you did?
No, I did yeah. not. There are methods now that people can use in order to ensure that their children do not inherit the disease, which involve complex and difficult and rather costly IVF-type procedures, which, you know, can, if people are worried about this and worried that they might be at risk for this disease, they can talk to their doctors about this.
Yeah, that's in vitro fertilization.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. There are ways that to effectively ensure that the child that is born has the DNA structure which avoids the cell. It's a complicated, too complicated for us to go into in here. But effectively, the point is that now one of the advantages of where we are now scientifically in terms of childbirth, we are able now for people to have children, although it's an extremely, as I say, it's an extremely arduous, expensive, and unpleasant and difficult process that people have to go through, and still does not necessarily ensure success at the end of it.
Now, the fact that this genetic testing showed that you had the gene, it's no longer a 50-50 chance you are for certain going to get Huntington's disease.
Absolutely. For certain, yes. The normal age of onset for the disease is in people's 30s and 40s, and I am now 52, so I'm kind of on borrowed time. But there is a point about the disease that it can actually, although it usually is in middle, what people would call their middle years, it can affect people later or indeed earlier. There was, very tragic. There were very tragic cases of juvenile Huntington's disease of teenagers having the disease.
When it comes, and you know it will come, how will it begin to affect you?
Well, it affects people in fundamentally three ways, and I think the way that I try and explain it to people in lay terms is to think of one of those ways as being in what most people would associate with Alzheimer's, in other words, a cognitive decline. Then there is secondly what you might associate with Parkinson's disease, in other words, a motor decline. And then lastly, what you might think of in schizophrenia, so a personality disorder. So all of those three things will happen, and they happen at different stages at different levels, but it's a very horrible cocktail. So basically, as you can imagine, to have all of those three happening.
Well, you certainly are not happy to know what the results of that test were. Are you glad that you got the test?
Yes, I am, because what happened was that I had been spending my life working around the world in places like Baghdad and so on with NBC, which was a wonderful experience. It taught me a great deal of things. And most of all, most importantly, the how far human spirit is able to be tested in human nature, but they were all just that. They were just experiences, or like experiences laid on top of each other, like playing cards. What happened when I decided to stop doing that and do what I do now, which frankly I suddenly had in a moment of blinding light, it seemed to me that it was obvious that I should do this because I still had my faculties. I still had the way I could get doors opened in places that other people couldn't, and I've spent a life in communications. So it was an obvious thing for me to do, but what I then found was that all of those experiences then started to have a significance which they had not held before in my new role. In other words, all of those lessons that I learned could be applied to one single mission, which is now to increase awareness of the disease and to encourage the people who have been felt the shame and the stigma of having this disease in their families to put their heads above the parapet, which is a very big task.
Yeah. Charles Sabine is my guest, the former award-winning NBC war correspondent. He now works on the issue of Huntington's disease and also genetic testing. And I understand you were very active helping Senator Ted Kennedy get his last major piece of legislation passed. It's called the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act. What does it do?
Well, GINA, as it's called for short, was what Ted Kennedy's last piece of legislation that he worked on, also what he called the first Human Rights Act of the 21st century America. And it's designed to protect people in the American workplace and in insurance who have genetic predispositions like Huntington's disease. Not only Huntington's disease, there are others, of course. But basically, what that means is that that someone who goes to an employer and says that they have been tested, as I was, positive for the gene of Huntington's disease, cannot but then be fired on that basis. Now, of course, like all legislation, the means of the intent might be greater than the reality. We have legislation in the United States saying that there's complete equality under race and sex, but it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. So in the same way, of course, the reality is that people are still afraid of getting tested because it might affect their status within their company, where their place of work or their insurance company. But this legislation is there to protect them.
Now, the Affordable Care Act signed into law by President Obama includes a portion that says that you can't be kept from insurance with a pre-existing condition. Mm-hmm. Does that cover or supersede the act that Ted Kennedy got passed?
Yeah, it runs in parallel. It's effectively another layer of protection. The problem with the reality of this, of all of these things, of course, is that people are just simply afraid that whilst they might, be able to say to their employer, well, obviously there's nothing that can happen about this, that they will be find prejudice against them. But what I encourage people who are from Huntington's disease families to realize is that in some ways they may be better off telling their employer, having been tested, getting tested and telling their employer about it, because that could give them, because of the legislation, the two strands of legislation are actually a safer situation than had they not told them.
So actually being upfront about it, because it's on the record that you've told them, you're protected. Exactly. Whereas if the employer maybe was talking to another employee and they said, Charles has Huntington's disease, and the employer didn't know that, they wouldn't have officially been notified, so they might manufacture some reason to get rid of someone.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I think there is something to be said for if you're going, for people. When people say, should I get tested? I say, look, you've got to get tested for your own reasons. Don't get tested for science, don't get tested for, anything other than, your own personal reasons. But there are a lot of reasons why it might be a good idea, and I say that is one of them. That, if you suspect that you may, if you have a family member who has the disease and you suspect you might be, have inherited that gene, you might strengthen your position in being tested positive and telling your employer about it.
Well, of course, the question one asks oneself when one's thinking of getting this genetic testing is not would you have Huntington's disease, but any of the many diseases that might come out of genetic testing done on yourself. And can you understand people, in your personal situation, you wanted to do it because your life was at a certain stage. You can understand people who might not want to do that because they just might not want to know.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. I totally understand and I respect that. What of course is happening at the moment is that Huntington's disease is effectively acting as a vanguard because of the clarity, because of the very precise 100% clarity of someone who is in my position inheriting the disease and will have the disease. What Huntington's families are now going through is effectively a vanguard for what the future will be for many people. Mm-hmm. As and when more and more diseases are perceived to have genetic predispositions, like cancer or heart disease, we're starting to learn, of course, that there is a genetic factor to all of these. So, in the future, there will be questions that will need to be faced about insurance companies dealing with people who they perceive to have a higher degree of chance of having heart disease. Now, that's in the future, but for now, the people who are suffering from Huntington's disease are effectively going through the template of working out what the constitutional references and structure should be for them.
What the future holds for you is nothing to look forward to, a loss of personality, memory loss, movement disorders. Have you worked through in your mind whether we live in an assisted suicide state where it's legal? Have you kind of worked through in your mind whether you would want to live through that degradation of your life?
Everyone in my position goes through that. Let me put it another way. Aside from the people who put their head in the sand about this, which is an understandable reaction, those who do think about it inevitably think about that, because that situation of that future possibility of assisted suicide, because it is a terrible thing to put your children through. this disease, the latter stages of this disease. And none of us want to be remembered as the person who is that person at the end of a decline in Huntington's disease, which is unrecognizable from the person that they started as. So anyone who says that they don't think about that is not telling the truth. Of course one does, and of course I have. It's a very, very, very difficult path to try and encounter, because whilst you don't want your children to go through that, it's also a very, very difficult decision to say that you were going to have to say goodbye to them at some point.
Sure.
And it's not an easy one. I would say is something that gives us a little bit of hope is the fact that right now there are, for the first time ever, there are some clinical trials coming up soon, and some hope that work in laboratories is including here, mm-hmm. this great university, especially in the area of stem cell work, that gives us hope that there may be glimmers of hope in the future that we may be able to have some treatments for the disease.
A treatment, not a cure, but a way to push back.
No, I mean, cure is a very overused word, which I try and discourage people from using in anything, because the fact is nothing in medicine has been cured, not cancer, not HIV, not heart disease.
Or even the common cold.
Or the common cold or influenza. Nothing has been cured. So it's actually kind of a very unhelpful word, cure, or even more unhelpful is the word incurable. The fact that when I first discovered about this disease, the first word that was in the dictionary adjective applied to it was incurable, which is a desolating thing to read about your own position. But then I came to realize that, in fact, incurable is not just a redundant word, it's a completely counterproductive word. It has no meaning whatsoever. We may as well define influenza as an incurable viral disease. It's absolutely a pointless word which only brings despair. So I like to eradicate the word incurable from our language.
Charles Sabine, thank you so much for telling us about your life and your decisions and your work on Huntington's disease. I really appreciate you taking the time.
My pleasure.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. You can check us out on Facebook, where we're KUOW's The Conversation, or we encourage you to follow us on Twitter, where our handle is KUOW Convo, KUOW CONVO.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.